Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
It's episode 77 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Hello and welcome to our humble abode. This is Drew Papsky, along with Jeff DeAngelis and Doyle here. No guests, nothing really to be excited about. Hello.
No guests, just us.
Yeah, nothing really to talk about. No, oh wait, there's a lot of things going on. Hello, everybody. It's a really good, high-energy way to start the podcast. I know. The team is hurting. And so are the fans, and there's a lot to talk about here. So how's it going with you guys? Is everything okay? Are you guys okay? Jeff, we're a little worried about you.
Sorry. I was reading Spectres.
You've been very emotional lately.
I know. I've been very angry. I've been NHL 17 passing angry.
If you've been following the Twitter at all, Jeff has just been having an emotional breakdown.
Just been knee-jerking all over the place.
Oh, we'll have some talks about that. Don't you worry. I put together a fine slideshow for you
to
present this evening.
Jeff's been drunk and emotional like a first trimester woman drinking.
Yes.
I just don't know what you're doing with your life.
And I want to stop, but I can't because I need it, but I know that it's hurting the baby.
Yeah.
It's a tough life decision.
Not a funny thing to joke about, Jeff. That was a test. You failed.
Oh.
You immoral sack of poop.
You sack of wine.
Sack of wine.
Yeah, so anyway, that's been that's been really good.
I don't like this Mellow Drew intro right now.
Yeah, Mellow Drew, so...
Let's just say we'll play some jazz music for you guys here on the Broad Street Bully Podcast.
Yeah. Stop.
Put my sunglasses on and be like that guy. So we just watched an episode of Doug before the show while Doyle was eating his din-din. And what a great way to bring it up.
Threw me back.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess... I think first things first, I think we could start off with something exciting. Because of most recent developments for our podcast.
And you're listening to Contemplative Jazz, Drew.
Thank you. We are, we made a commercial, and we could use your help in getting the word out there. And I think it only be, fuck that, let's get back to the shit, all right? I tried. I'm trying to be a better man this year.
Around. It's interesting.
You don't have the right hat on for it.
That's right. I need to wear like a fedora or something, right? Even though I never caught that.
What, to be a jazz musician?
Like
yeah, definitely a fedora. Maybe a Jeff cap.
I'll change wardrobe mid-podcast.
Is that what that's called?
A Kangol, yeah. The same L. Jackson hat you wore on Jackie Brown? Yeah. That's what
just all go silent so you can pause it and then you fire up and we'll come right back.
I don't want to do that.
You want to redo Jazz Drew?
No, I don't really want to do that. That's the first intro.
I don't know what I
character.
Hate more, that or Fogelberg.
That was like a table read. We'll go back to the actual real stuff like next week on next week's episode.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so this ad here, I just want to share because, I mean, obviously I think our listeners will like it. And just top of the show, a little show business, would love if people, show business, just comes off the tongue. So if you guys actually have anybody you know as a podcast, wants to do an ad swap, get the word out to them. We have
if you
want to
play the ads to your family and friends.
Yes, you can get that out there. It's a great way. Family dinners is especially good. There's no bad words in it. And we kind of keep it to the Broad Street Bully level of excellence and mediocrity all the same. It's a fine line we dabble down, and we'll do it, okay? So here we go. Without further ado, our little 30-second ad on our own show, but just to get it out there, I think you guys will like it. So please, enjoy. Hey, guys, I'm Drew.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys, I'm Drew Papsky.
And I'm Jeff.
And Doyle.
And every week, we're talking Flyers hockey, big NHL news, and anything else we feel like.
That's right, so grab a beer, hide your family, and listen in as we hang out with our friends, talk about the game, and you can join in on the fun. We're on iTunes, so make sure you subscribe. We're on Stitcher, we're on Wildfire Radio, and of course, you can find everything about us on BroadStreetBully.net.
You got a little wordy there, buddy.
Shut up, Jeff.
Guys, I'm here.
Shut up,
Doyle.
I know, perfect, right? I know. We have great producers here, so if you guys know anyone, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, email one of us. Tweet at one of us, figure it out. I want to get the word out there, get the show out there. We have a lot of big things planned we're going to get to. For the show, we have an upcoming live event, February 25th. We're going to get to all details for the show. We're going to talk about a lot of things. The Flyers at a town hall meeting, their annual with the season ticket holders and with some of the Flyers brass.
Oh, sure.
Or as I'd call them, steel, because they haven't been very shiny this year.
That's rusted copper.
We can go with that, too.
Yeah.
Or oxidized copper, like Statue of Liberty, be all blue and green. Or pennies. Okay, anyway, we got a We got a lot of things to talk about with what? That. I guess we can talk about the Flyers games first this week.
Yeah.
When we last left you. We got three points out of a possible
nine.
Six.
Six. No. Yes. Yeah,
they played three games. Three times two
Bad
is.
Bad math.
There it goes.
No, they played three games. They won one.
And they got an overtime.
Oh, they went to overtime against the Kings. So, I thought you just flat out lost.
Dude, you're awful at reading and math.
I was pretty drunk Saturday.
I know. Your emotional breakdown on Twitter. First game versus Canadians, played a very good, tight game, and they came out on top versus a good Canadians
tight
team.
Tight checking, responsible defensively.
Versus Carey Price, right? Carey Price played the game, was one of the best goaltenders in the world.
Yeah, it was, right?
Mm-hmm. And that was a good Thursday night game. Couturier scores the empty netter with Matt Reed getting a nice pass from Couturier early in the game, and the puck was on the edge, and he just slapped it right.
How's he not been doing that shit all season?
Because he's Matt Reed.
Guy's the worst.
It's 2017, Matt Reed. It's not 20.
Dad Reed. Raise that trade value.
2013, Matt Reed. I forget. But and then Saturday versus the LA Kings is a 0-0 tie. Flyers thought played a very good game.
Neuwirth played a very good game.
Okay. Put it this way.
That was it.
Defensively, I thought they had some lapses, but overall they kept Neuwirth kept them in the game, but they also I think they played pretty well versus a red hot Kings team, is obviously much better than them at this point. And then Jeff Carter scores in the 3-on-3 overtime because we lose our people. And
of course.
Long shifts, and then we
and
lose.
And then, of course, everybody starts reacting with the, we should have never got rid of Jeff Carter tweets.
Yeah, because we know we traded him to L.A. Oh, wait, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
He winds his way to Columbus to get there.
Yeah, of course.
We got Nick Cousins and Voracek for the Couturier
and
trade.
I think, I want to say the pick that got stole ours, too.
It was Couturier, Voracek, Cousins.
And Cousins, yeah. So
who did we get stole ours from then?
I don't remember.
All right.
Let's get on that.
Research.
So, and then so that game, whatever, kind of deflating, but they got a point out of it and versus a very good team. And then Monday night, I'm going to turn it over to you guys because I was working my other job. What happened? Can someone give me a little summary of what happened because I didn't get to watch. I got to listen to some of the game driving, but I was between jobs. I got to watch the last 5 minutes of the third when I got home.
So
maybe.
I'll let Jeff take away the first period and a half.
Well, I was just going to say, they didn't score at all against the Kings, right? And then
0-0, yeah.
That kind of carried over to the Blues game, and then they started pressing, and it wasn't good.
The Blues game, though, they held the Blues to one shot in the first period, which they haven't done in forever.
Yeah, the Blues had six shots through two periods. So,
they actually were attacking. I listened to some of that. It sounded like they were getting some chances in the first.
The problem that they had was that all of their scoring chances were from the perimeter. No one was going to the net.
Yeah, the Flyers didn't really.
Everything was getting pushed outside.
Okay, and also the storylines behind the game, if you weren't paying attention, was Travis Konecny and Ghost sat for both of these games, correct?
Yes, they were both scratched.
Okay.
Well,
Konecny came back
Monday
for the Blues games.
And then got hurt.
Yeah, and
Konecny's going to be out for a little bit. We have an update on that injury at all?
Four to six weeks.
Knee/ankle.
Okay.
4 to 6 weeks, both, I think. He left in a walking boot.
Okay.
Hit the wall. And when you looked at it, it didn't look good when
What's
he hit the wall.
What's that a boot?
His, when you look at the hit, he's kind of off balance and is, falling as he gets hit. And you kind of see his, leg kind of twist.
Yeah, and his knee gets all up under him. And then they showed him, skate off. And then I think before they went to commercial, they showed him try to get off the bench and skate circles, and then he disappeared.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to. I didn't watch the injury, but I heard I didn't watch it, but I heard he got a.
Yeah,
he fell on the boards.
It didn't look great.
Breaking news.
I'm Sarah Baker, and this is a CSN Philly injury update. Flyers rookie forward Travis Konecny is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Is she
going to
play it, or is she just
going to
talk about it?
Yeah, I don't know, and it's not giving
Monday's
me a preview image. Oh, here it is. Maybe.
That news comes from general manager Ron Hextall. Konecny was injured in the second period when Blues player Trangelo took him awkwardly into the
boards. We'll show you. Here, this is a better angle.
The play was clean, but Konecny was losing his edge.
His left leg kind of
dug in and hit there. Yeah. His ankle or skate hit the board while his knee was going into it. It's a weird bend.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
I mean, he's lucky that he didn't
tear
his
stuff.
Yeah, that's
it's just sprains.
Vintage knee buckle.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't look too good. So he'll be out for a little while. He'll be back
4 to 6
for the beginning end of the season if we're making a playoff push, maybe.
In the what I read on Twitter today was that Hextall is going to be at the next Phantoms game to scout call-ups because they'll apparently need them for the next road trip, he said.
Jordan Wheel.
Right.
Yeah, well, he finally got his chance.
The only thing I don't know about Wheel is if Wheel comes up, does he have to clear waivers again?
Or no? I don't know.
I don't know. But
because I know there's waivers when you go down, but I feel like they got rid of re-entry waivers. If you cleared waivers going down, but since he started in the AHL, I don't know if he has to go through waivers coming up.
That's
not really sure.
I think it is coming up. I think the down entries are gone, but the up is what they have. All I know is that he's been playing really good in the AHL. But
he was an all-star, actually.
I think he's second on the team in scoring.
Yeah.
But the Flyers, at this point, they still hold down that last wild card spot. They're a point ahead of Boston, and the Flyers have a game in hand on them. And we have 3 points ahead of the Islanders and 3 points ahead of the Panthers,
which,
but they've played less games.
Surprises
so,
me. The last
luckily,
games thing
the
is
top teams
about.
In our division that were playing really well when the Flyers were involved in that 10-game streak, they're still playing pretty well. They're still having they still have positive win streaks with the last 10 games, like Columbus, Pittsburgh, Washington. The Rangers, last 10, 6-4-0 still. We're 4-5-1 the last 10. The team has just not played well. Ever since that streak, we kind of lost the mojo, and we started finding it before that little all-star mini like bye week. And then it just all went to shit. So I don't know what the team can do at this point. There's a lot of things that we probably have different opinions on, but they're sitting players, fans are getting angry, and they're getting impatient. And I think right now I just want to bring up the play of Claude Giroux is concerning me a little bit. I'm not writing him off, but this year on the team, his stats are stat line. He still has 41 points, second in the team right behind Voracek. And it's not bad. 41 points right now isn't bad. The thing that is concerning, though, his power play points, 22. So over half of his points are on the power play, which we know that. He's a power play specialist, good at the faceoffs, but his line, we're a one-line team. They're playing the perimeter. They're not going to dirty areas, and it just seemed like they don't seem as motivated as they were. They have shifts, but
They haven't even been making them a one-line team, though. They, like, broke up the one line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Drew hasn't really done anything by himself like he used to either.
He used to be able to take over games, and now I'm just concerned. Like, I hope it's not the decline of him.
I think it's hip surgery. They said it takes a full year to recover from that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm not writing him off. He's a competitor, and I know like he has capability to be one of the best players in the
game. He definitely has been playing at the same speed, though, so then maybe it's a hip. Or maybe he's hurt again.
Well, he did get hurt in the World Cup of Hockey that they didn't really disclose to anybody what happened.
They just didn't play him.
Yeah, it's like, he got hurt, and then just didn't
say
anything
about it.
They
won, and that
was it. Yeah, the team just what do you guys think about Claude? Like, is it I'm not even going to bring this. I don't want to bring this up. Like I'm jumping ship on him, but like his contract isn't tradable, and if this is the decline of Giroux, we're in deep doo doo.
Right. We ask him to retire and then politely send him on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I don't mean I'm jumping. He's not even 30 yet. But
no, he's got like 5 years left.
He's got good years left. And also he plays a kind of game where he's a small guy. Like he can kind of still become. He can still be valuable as like a second line center. If we were fine at number one, that eludes us because as he gets older, he's not going to be able to keep up those minutes.
Well, there's no one in the system.
He was supposed to be like this year. We limited his penalty kill time and everything like that. But this year, I'm not sure what to say about him.
What is the scouting report on German?
Ripstoff. He's getting out of his KHL contract. Allegedly.
He's out of it already.
Yeah.
He's in the OHL, I think. WHL, one of those. QMJ. Apparently he's good. He's having a good season, but they don't think that he's supposed to project as a top line, like a number one guy.
He's supposed to be like a second or third line center, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say Sean Couturier, except his offense actually develops, I think, is his high point right now.
Yeah,
so
he's going to be a solid like two-way forward. Like actually, like Couturier, yeah. I think we can't write him off, but I think his ceiling seems to be a third line center. I don't think Couturier can
well,
be.
Well, the problem defensive with center, not even.
The problem with Couturier, too, is like you always see that as soon as he gets capable line mates, he plays awesome. And then as soon as he has shit line mates, he can't do a goddamn thing.
I also feel like, though, he's indecisive with the puck. Like that one game where he was in a two-on-one or a breakaway, and like he held on to the shot for so long that the guy back-checking was able to break the play up.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if he doesn't trust his offensive capabilities or he just doesn't have them anymore because he put up a lot of points in juniors.
Yeah, he did.
I know everyone's like, well, you can't trust junior points because it means nothing.
Well,
but
so Scott Lawton did
score
as well. Scott Lawton did as well, though.
Yeah, I know, but Scott Lawton and Walls.
Rubstaw, by the way, is a CHL.
CHL?
Yeah, CHL. So.
Yeah, it's like Chick to me.
Something like that.
chickpeas,
chicoutimi, yeah,
hummus.
That works.
Yeah.
Oh wait, so, no, I'm sorry. No, it's he wasn't the CHL. And I was going to QMJHL with chicoutimi, saguenines, Quebec, whatever the Quebec.
Yeah,
the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, whatever the hell it means.
The Quebec Major Juniors. Yeah,
I don't know what the hell it is, dude. It's all French to me. Back to you.
God damn it!
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so Giroux, the play of him, I don't know. Just something to look for. This season, if he doesn't pick it up this season, we have seasons with him. But next season,
you can't trade him.
No. I'm just saying, like, we can't write him off if he doesn't pick it up.
Yeah,
this
for
season.
Everybody that's saying like we should trade Giroux.
It used to be a joke and a meme, but now it's becoming like real people.
Like, the people think that they're gonna get a great return for him. They're gonna get whatever that Columbus got for Rick Nash, which was like next to nothing.
Well, the contract there, the team knows they want to move him.
Yeah,
exactly. Because the contract is ridiculous.
It never what people don't seem to understand is that they're like, oh, Claude Giroux is the Flyers' best player. Like if they're trading him, they're gonna get a big return. If a team has to trade their captain, not a good sign.
Yeah.
Look what Ryan Callahan going to. Yeah. They got like an agent.
That was
like
a captain for captain swap,
yeah,
though.
But like, yeah, they got St. Louis was on his way out.
Yeah.
It was like Tampa Bay getting
but
rid
like,
of an old guy.
Yeah, Ryan Callahan went to Tampa Bay for St. Louis and is that it?
Somebody.
Dan Boyle or Dan Boyle signing free agency?
Yeah, Dan Boyle signing free agency. He was on the Sharks before.
Yeah. So like you're not going to get – you don't trade your captain unless there's issues. And like they can't take the C away from at this point.
C, Mike Richards.
Yeah, they can't be like, well, Pronger's going to be in charge now.
Yeah.
So you can just stay around.
Yeah, give it to Wayne Simmonds.
Or you can take your book bag that sounds like it's full of pills and get ready for the team flight.
Mike Richards alert! Pew, pew.
In Canada.
Canada.
Do we go through customs on private flights, Coach?
We'd really like to know if, before I pack my bag. I got a lot of things to bring.
I have a lot of clothes to bring.
Things to bring, songs to sing, and girls to ding-a-ling. I'm Mike Richards. I used to be somebody.
I'm bringing out my painkillers. I mean, hockey sticks.
It's just all copies of Judas Priest song Painkiller, single, on CDs.
45s.
Well, I'm tearing down the back. Anyway.
The sleeve signed by Judas Priest. I like to carry it with me.
There you go. So yeah, Claude Giroux, I'm not sure about. I guess we can let's talk about this this town hall thing.
Survey
guess,
says
right?
Stinks
because so basically, Jeff, what's this town hall thing do? Everyone knows what this town hall thing is.
So
it took meticulous notes
every year. Apparently, the Flyers open up the Wells Fargo Center to season ticket holders to come in and have sit down meetings with. I guess it's team brass. This year, I think the major three were Homer, Hextall, and Hextall.
So basically, does this happen like every year around like January, February-ish? Like,
right, probably. I think so. I think it's like a thing that Ed Snyder started. I don't know if other teams do it or not. But basically, they took groups of Flyers season ticket holders, and then they, so like one group got to talk to Holmgren, while another group got to talk to Hextall, and then they cycled.
Okay.
Switched all out. So Broad Street Hockey and Crossing Broad and Sons of Penn, all those guys basically compiled all the notes into one easy-to-read place, and then I simmered it down to the important stuff. So
take it away, Jeff.
Let's start. Paul Holmgren's interviews. He had a couple of important points. One, Comcast owns the Flyers. No single person has a financial stake in the team anymore, like Ed Snyder used to.
No one's gonna take over.
So he stressed that it's him and Hextall making all the team's decisions. It's not from a higher
power.
That makes me happy.
That's nice to know that there's parity there. It's not somebody
that
else
makes
telling
me happy.
Yes. Yeah, so now when they trade for Ben Bishop, you can't blame whoever owns the team.
Exactly. You have to blame them. And
Brame is a brame in it. Speaking of a brame.
I've been listening to all the old podcasts, and the Japanese voice is like very prominent for like 6 episodes in a row, and we just throw it in for no reason.
We or you?
But no, you did some of it too. Talking like this. Anyway, Holmgren also said that he would like to participate next year's Olympics and voted yes in favor of it. So it's not really whatever. If there's another Olympic break, you'll have that like 2 weeks off in the middle of February.
I have no problem. I think the Olympics are a great thing for the
sport.
Yeah,
but that
kind
of
exposes.
But that 2 week break in the middle of February kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So,
but the Flyers went to the finals last time not the last time, one of the times they played the Olympics, right? 2010 Olympics.
Maybe.
They won Pronger and Richards won gold medal. They were all buddy-buddy. They put their bygones be bygones. They won together on the Canadian team when Crosby scored in the overtime versus the USA, which was a great Olympic gold medal game.
And that game was pretty awesome.
Right. And Homer, another one of his final notes was that he defended Hextall, saying that Hextall does stuff behind closed doors that the public won't see. And he confirmed that old Davey Boy is part of the team's long-term plans.
Yeah, I think so too, which I'm gonna get to my opinion later. I'm going to let you keep going.
Right.
I have opinions about the Philadelphia fan base right now.
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah.
Tough right now. So
thank God you've been running the Twitter lately. I can tell by your feminine puberty like tears you've been putting out there.
Oh yeah. Let's move on to Hextall's interviews. So he started, or I don't know if he started, but he catheterized.
Damn it.
Did you have a video playing?
Damn it. The stupid advertisement.
Advertisement?
Shit.
Should we just move on?
Today, Junior!
It would have been great in the moment.
So, he categorized the ghost and Konecny benchings as the timeout you would give a child.
Just like our meme.
Right.
Meme magic is real.
In conjunction with working on improving their game. So, that gives you a little insight into something that no one said, that maybe they're being pouty little bitches.
Yeah, and also it's a long game with them. They're not like they don't need to play every game. I know it frustrates us, and we want to see these players, but yeah, like I said, just keep going because rant incoming.
Yeah,
Hextall also mentioned that Konecny had no AHL experience to draw from, so that's hampered his development a little bit, coming right from juniors. But he finished by emphasizing that both players are important to the future of the Flyers.
Either as players or as draft picks or consolidation. What? Okay,
it's
never mind.
Very important.
As trade chips.
Draft consolidation.
To the trade chips. All right, do you want to go on to the next point or do you have fluff to raise?
I don't know. Show me the next point.
Hextall likes the position the Flyers are in for the expansion draft. He was saying that as far as the Flyers go, they're in a pretty good position, a lot better than some other teams. And it sounds like they want to protect Stolarz. They don't want to expose
him. Which is smart.
Yeah, I like that because
I think we've talked about that.
I like the potential that Stolarz brings to the table.
If they do, they better just sign one freaking goalie and then just let him back up next year.
Yeah, well, it sounded like Hextall was open to the idea of signing a goalie to expose him to the draft. So,
paging Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the little Halak action.
Yeah.
He can have his mask fall off and that was Niemi, wasn't it? Halak was in for the was Halak in for the Blackhawks or was it Niemi when we played the Blackhawks?
It was Niemi. Halak was on, I think, the Canadians
at the time because Price was hurt, right?
And then Niemi got that badass contract from the Sharks after he won.
And he shakes off his helmet like three times when we're in the offensive zone.
So,
douche!
Hextall finished up by saying he makes the final decisions for all players on the roster.
Of course he does. He's the GM. He should.
Naturally.
That's basically, I think it's making sure.
But I don't know if
probably
that means,
fans asking like
I feel
this
like people. I think he's just trying to reiterate.
Yeah, I don't know if that means.
He's just trying to make sure there's no outside influence on what's going on.
I also don't know if that means if Hextall doesn't have any influence or Holmgren doesn't have any influence. Like
they have
ways.
Influence. They give you their opinion. But I think he probably, Holmgren's been around a little longer and like we can talk shit about Holmgren as a GM, but he does know the game.
Right.
There's plenty of pieces of dipshit Flyers that we'd love to see play that were bad, like goons.
Yeah. Curtis Foster.
Like Berube, for example, right? Berube, I don't think everyone liked him as assistant coach. I think he did really well as that. In the head coach position, I can't really even fully give him a full evaluation because the team in front of him was pretty much just disheveled.
Yeah, and hodgepodge together.
Yeah.
Any
other synonym for disheveled? Go ahead.
So, and Hextall didn't give Flyers fans a lot of hopes for free agency. He said that July 1st is the worst day of the year and the Flyers will be silent this year. Which, if you look at the upcoming free agents...
I don't think there's a lot.
We're going to give $9 million to Lucic.
It's like if they hit the market, I think the top ones are like Radulov and Bischoff.
Yeah, Bishop. Thanks, but no
Bishop.
Thanks.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are speculating they're going to try and make a move on Bishop.
I would imagine Bishop
as the goalie?
I would imagine the Lightning would want to trade him for something instead of letting him go for nothing.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I don't see the Flyers trading for his.
No, I don't think. Oh no, a lot of people are saying the Flyers should sign Bishop, but I think that's ridiculous and stupid.
I'm off on signing a goalie through free agency.
They're gonna sign anybody. It'll be Mason or it'll be Neuvirth. They'll sign one of those.
That's what I'm saying. We've done it once. He's like a top, like a higher tier goalie, but
Yeah,
I don't trust it.
You want someone like Mason Neuver.
It's like the Eagles with cornerbacks. You don't trust their their right. signings on cornerbacks.
And
anymore.
Ben Bishop will forever be the guy who had to leave a Stanley Cup Finals game to take a poop.
Allegedly, yes.
So
he had the diarrhea.
He's always going to be that guy.
He's having the comes and goes on the ice.
Yeah, and Vasilevsky had to step in. And they're like, oh, is Bishop hurt? And then like he was back in like 10 minutes later, and they're like, oh, I wonder what he was doing for 10 minutes.
I really think that they have Neuwirth or Mason, and you bring up Stolarz to compete next year.
Yeah, make Stolarz the backup. Expose, with all the goalies that are going to hit the expansion draft market, no one's going to take Mason or Neuwirth, or shouldn't at least, unless they're idiots.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could, but yeah, the contracts are friendly.
There's probably better,
but there's better choices.
Yeah, there's better choices. If somebody's just going to be able to take a player, there's better choices than Steve Mason and Michael Neuwirth for them to take.
Yes.
Unless the GM is just like, I fucking hate Ron Hextall. David Poyle gets somehow in charge of Las Vegas.
The Nashville guy, right?
Yeah.
It's like Holmgren's a president. I still remember 4 score and 7 years ago when he... balls of steel offer sheet at me from my prize Shea Weber, who now got traded.
Yeah. So anyway, you guys ready?
Is this the Hextall? Or is this Hextall?
These are the Hextall comments.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm glad I saved my rage.
Okay.
It might build up.
Hextall acknowledged.
Just for the record, I don't hate what Hextall's doing. I don't hate him or anything. Hextall.
I understand all of his answers. I don't buy them, though. Okay. So let's go. Hextall acknowledged there's a lot of unrestricted free agent defensemen on the team this year, and he expects to have several young defensemen on the team next year. He didn't seem concerned about using young players, but he did acknowledge that rookies will have their ups and downs.
Yes, they will.
Yes.
Okay.
That should really
be all young players.
That's basically common sense that Hextall has to set. Rabbit Flyers fans expect us to win now because the Sixers won a couple
he
games.
Went on to say, if the young players have Provorov's attitude, then they'll be on the team and they will do well to fall in line with him.
Well...
that's like, this reminds me of like some Chip Kelly buy into the culture shit. And I don't know if I agree with what path he's going down here.
I like it.
Well, you like Chip Kelly too, and look at how well that worked out.
How is this anything like Chip Kelly?
They do well if they fall in line with him.
It's
and
a white
have
fucking
the,
male coach of the team.
Have the attitude.
Be like Provorov. What is wrong with that?
No,
learn
Provorov's good. But it sounds like Provorov is towing the company line, and Ghost was doing his own thing. Because he's a wild rebel without
we'll
a cause.
We'll get to that later.
So.
I have my own thoughts on that.
My opinion on that is Provorov, even when he had bad games, he's a hard worker, and he's constantly trying to make his game better, and that's what you want from players.
And
so.
He is playing miles better than Konechny or Ghost.
Yeah, yes. He is.
So just because he's playing
he's
better,
also a top...
I feel like he gets more leeway.
Highly touted prospect, I think, too. Yeah.
Well, everybody said that he was... he had the offensive capability of Shane Gostisbehere with a way better defensive
upside.
Yeah, his angles and his positioning in the defensive zone are like awesome.
So, somebody asked Hextall why McDonald gets top minutes when his Corsi stats are among the worst in the league.
It was actually us. We snuck into the meeting. Bam, bam.
And then they cited the stats to support their question. After hearing this, Hextall got red in the face, apparently, and spent several minutes defending McDonald, said that he's a top 3 or 4 NHL defenseman, and that as for Corsi stats, they can all get thrown out the window. Hextall believes Andy is a top-level defenseman who deserves top minutes, and after being sent down to the AHL last year, his game was totally different. He turned it completely around, and now he's become one of the best defensemen on the team. He finished by saying he doesn't like when people boo McDonald for making a mistake on home ice.
Okay.
Now, I get that you can't blast him in the ass. Because you can't to completely make him sad, not want to play here, and destroy his trade value. But if he honestly believes that Andy McDonald is one of your top 4 defensemen...
Well, you can't...
I think he is, though. I think he's a top 4. I mean,
have
he could be a good...
Have you seen what our other defensemen are?
Have you seen Andy McDonald play?
Yeah, he was playing great during the streak when our whole team
was playing... Wouldn't you rather see... literally anybody else.
Yeah, but it's fun to
Sanheim,
it's fun
Warren,
to, it's fun to ram on him, dude. But the contract and years we get mad at. But
he
like,
is stuck here.
I know. I say shit about
him. They can
him.
Play him on the bottom pair. You can bring Hag makes like 800 something a year. He can definitely come up and play. You can give him a shot.
Yeah, but I mean, it's always fun to pile on him. But we look at it from like a logistical point of view, which they are because they're actually in
McDonald
charge of the
piles
thing.
On himself because he stinks.
But he played so well when the team was playing well.
The whole team. Well, yeah, because everybody else was covering up his mistakes.
Well, they were playing.
That's
defense.
like saying Matt Caro played well when Chris Pronger was his defensive partner.
Matt Carl was still a top four defenseman at the time, though. You can't say he's a top pair.
He was their best puck mover.
He's a top four defenseman.
At turning it over. Guys, don't just argue with me now because you want to argue with me. Matt Carl stinks.
Jeff is such the precious little boy.
Matt Carl stinks.
There you have it, kids. Matt Carl stinks.
Matt Carl stinks.
Somebody asked Hextall how far.
Hold on, I'm not telling this McDonald thing. Yeah. Oh. Okay. The Corsi stats, yes, I know that, but like analytics are good, but you can't just like cite that as your
everything
main
thing. Is not based on
Andy
analytics.
McDonald does make good plays once in a while, but no one ever talks about it.
Once in a while.
He does. Even now he does. I mean, yeah. I know we can all like jump on him, but he's not this multi-dimensional, amazing like offensive defensive guy like a Pronger or what Provorov hopefully will be. He's going to have his ups and downs, but he's still, I still think he'd be a top four defenseman on most teams that actually have a team defense structure.
Let's call the Kings, ask him to be a top four defenseman.
When the Flyers are playing well,
call the Penguins, ask him.
We
be a top
even
four
talked
defenseman.
About it. You can go back to old episodes. You can hear us talking about how he played well, and he played well on the stretch last
call
year.
Call the Blue Jackets, see if he'd be a top four defenseman.
Go ahead, call him. See
Sharks,
if take him.
Predators.
I feel like
he could be a top four defenseman on the Devils.
You're treating him like CNN treats Trump right now.
Fairly and unbiasedly. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. Who's filling your pockets?
So
Robert Hagman giving you all this money to promote his propaganda on our airwaves.
So somebody asked Hextall how far the Flyers are away from teams like Capitals and the Penguins, and he was apparently really angry about that and said that the Flyers can compete with any team in the league. And that was the last question he took before leaving.
All right,
let's
be serious. That's a dumb fucking question.
I mean, is it though?
What do you want? Don't the head coach say, like, yeah, we're trying to... Yeah,
we don't have an offense. We need offense.
We can't compete with any NHL team on any given night. They almost beat the Capitals in the playoffs last year. They took them to Game 7.
But they didn't.
But they beat the Capitals this year. And they beat the Penguins. They only played them, what, twice?
I know, but in terms of like the how
on
far
any,
ahead...
It's
how
on
ahead,
any given night,
how
though.
Far ahead in points...
On any given night, can they beat another NHL team?
Will they, realistically... Will they make it to the playoffs, and will they beat one of these teams in a playoff?
They could. They
How
could.
How far ahead are the Penguins and Capitals right now?
Oh, in the standings,
does
yes.
Does that
but
matter
like,
in the playoffs?
They have a much more consistent team.
They
got
to get into the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, everybody starts at zero. Points don't matter.
I don't think... I mean, maybe the Caps...
How many upsets have there been in the NHL?
Maybe the Caps.
From
the
lower
Caps.
Seeds beating...
Maybe the Caps because the Caps stink, but I don't know about the Penguins.
Well, the Penguins, I mean, first of all, they have Crosby and Malkin.
Yeah.
And they have, you know,
they have
Chris Letang, and they also, Marc-Andre Fleury is a good goalie.
He may be gone, though.
They've got backup, too. They just won the Stanley Cup.
Matt Murray.
They still can compete with them.
I don't even know if they could beat Columbus, though.
I mean, regardless of what teams don't match up well against, I mean the New Jersey Devils were ranked second when we went to the finals in 2010, and we... took the care of them pretty handily. We matched up better against them. Canadians beat the Penguins for us, but because we matched up better against them and they matched up better against the Penguins, I understand why people go like, oh, they're in fluster, we got them, but you don't ask a coach like, how do you compete with people in your division when they're still fighting for a playoff spot? This is not the off season where he can be a little bit more candid. He still has a locker room. You know the players are going to hear about this. Like, you got to keep morale up.
Well, yeah, that's probably why you didn't blast McDo.
Sometimes being a leader, you know, like, you know, Dwight D. Eisenhower, when they were losing some of the war and losing some battles, and just go like, oh, well, a lot of you are going to fucking die when you go up on D-Day. You're going to have to go up this fucking mountain. It's going to suck. It's like, no, we're going to go out there. We can take care of them. The enemy is a lot weaker, and we've been strengthening. If you read his D-Day message, it's the same exact thing. He knew a lot of kids were going to die, and it was going to be a hard battle. But guess what?
But he sent them there anyway. So what you're saying is Hextall is sending his players into slaughter.
Sure. No spin
Did
zone.
It work, though?
Yeah. Are you speaking German over there, Europe? Huh?
And the rest of the following tidbits compiled were that McDonald brings a better skill set than Ghost.
Overall, I agree.
Ugh. Are you retarded?
Have you seen Ghost play this year?
I would still rather have Ghost than McDonald.
Well, yeah, because he's more likable and he's young and
he's
exciting.
The Flyers need McDonald's ability to move the puck out of the zone more than Ghost's offensive skills. That's a Hextall quote.
Ghost turnovers at the blue line have been a lot more this year.
Have you noticed that when... Ghost turns the puck over this year, he does not have the capability to correct his mistake like he used to last year.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's hurt or something because he's not skating.
I just think he's
had
hip surgery.
He had the same hip surgery that Giroux did, or no?
Yes.
Oh.
And also, I think it's a sophomore slump and hitting the wall and like he's holding the stick too tightly. It came easier to him last year because he had nothing to lose. Now that you have already had that reputation as a second-year player, that's why in any sport, not just hockey, the sophomore slump is always a dangerous thing.
He has regressed significantly.
Well, he also imparted that Ghost is hurting McDonald's overall performance, making McDonald look bad.
See, I don't agree with benching Ghost, but I will say that the dude has not been playing up to where.
Not up to what he was doing last year, but I feel like last year was a flash in the pan.
He hasn't even been playing up to any like reasonable standard.
Yeah, he's really not hitting the net. That's a big problem.
He's still good on the power play when he has room and space to launch the puck, but even then he's not. It's the whole team's not playing well, and like I mean, last year the team got hot around the time when he got hot, and yeah, he may have invigorated the lineup by being a young player, but I still the benching thing him. It's a long game with him. Him and connecting. I was going to say this earlier, like the way the fans are acting like this is the end of the world, and the Flyers are in free fall. Like
Penny.
It's just it annoys me. Because now the Sixers, like, sucked for the last few years, been building the process they've been talking about. They have a good young players. They're building around. They're winning some games. They're being competitive every night. That's what the Flyers are. The Flyers are pretty much in the same boat.
But aren't Sixers
fans have a full rebuild.
Already yelling to trade Okafor?
Well, Okafor is not even playing. So.
But wasn't he a top prospect?
He was a top three pick.
Oh, there you go.
I just mean, like, I really think, like. Fuff. This whole fan base, and so is
Nerlens Noel.
Not even those are just. I mean, I know who Joel Embiid is because I like his Twitter, but I don't know who those other people
basically,
are.
Basically, Jahlil Okafor can't play defense at all.
Okay, so he's like Andy McDonald. Go on.
Yeah, that was coming.
And but he has all he can do is he doesn't fit the team at all.
That makes sense.
He can't move without the ball, kind of like. Ghost can't move without the puck right now.
I mean, my popcorn, just watch this. he's kind of dumb as fuck, just like your fucking mother. We have one of you guys to say that to
But
we agree too much on here. We need to disagree on something.
We are right now.
I know.
Okafor can't, there's no fast pace in him. He has to slow the whole tempo of the offense down.
Chris Vandeveld-esque.
And he has no jump shot at all.
Like Claude Giroux.
So it's just a lot of problems. So they're going to try and trade him.
All right. I heard they're trying to get
New
Orleans first round,
right?
They
might get a first round pick for him.
Yeah.
Which I'm not upset about.
That'd be pretty sweet if they get a first round pick for a first round pick.
I mean, a first round pick for a guy who's not even playing.
Yeah. Has he played any games at all?
Well, right now they're showcasing him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. 5 minutes. Go sit down.
The 76ers update. The more you know. Anyway, Flyers fans are fucking stupid.
Okay, so anyway, a fan asked why McDonald never sits for brutal play and why Ghost does, and then Hackstall made a joke about McDonald being sent down to the AHL, and it was like Drew on stage, no one left.
Oh, well, now we're going with personal attacks. All right,
well,
we're play this game.
It is true, though. it was pretty bad last
about
year.
About me not laughing? You're getting laughs?
No, I'm talking about what's on the screen.
Is there going to be Doyle? When Jesus comes back, we put up Poor Lucky Papsky?
But then Hackstall said he refuses to compare defensemen. And he said that McDonald earned a spot at camp, and he does his job efficiently despite all the media's claims, and that McDonald and Ghost have different roles, and Ghost is out of the lineup for, quote, good reasons.
Well, like I said,
I feel like we've covered this a bunch of times, that in McDonald...
He also said McDonald is a good match with Provorov, and they like the pairing.
Well...
Hackstall does.
That's been their best pairing.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
Because Provorov's so good.
Mac and provolone. Mac and cheese.
No, it's mac and cheese.
If it works,
I think.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I feel like mac and cheese could be either of them.
But I just think, can I just comment on the fact that I think the Philly sports fans, like, we were supposed to, like, oh, this is a year when the Sixers are rebuilding. We had the Eagles of Carson Wentz to build around. The Flyers, a bunch of young talent. And everyone's like, and the Phillies have been rebuilding, retooling ever since, like, they held on to their old players too long. And everyone's like, oh, we'll be patient. And that was, like, last year. And they made the playoffs last year.
I think
and
that's
everyone's
the problem.
Like,
is
we
everybody...
took the Capitals to, what, six games last year? And it was
seven.
Just, was it games? No, it was six games, I thought.
No,
was
I think it was six.
It was six.
I thought it was seven.
It was six. We were almost against
no,
seven.
Was
no,
it was...
They won game six, and I'm
I thought it was
sure...
4-2 because it matched our NHL.
Yeah,
no, they won game six because I'm pretty sure game six was when they only had like six shots on goal and ended up winning like 2-1 or something like that.
No, I'm pretty sure they lost the Capitals. They lost in game six. Yeah, they lost in game six 1-0. It was April. I remember I was in Nashville for that.
Hmm.
They were all they went down 3-0 and 1-2 in a row, and then they. Went up losing game six.
The thing that they were saying,
though.
They took
down the Capitals six games. Everyone's like, oh, playoffs, the Flyers are back. Like,
well,
no,
that's
like,
the problem is nobody has patience now. And let's be serious here. Why is everybody pushing for this team to go to the playoffs to lose in the first round, basically?
Oh, yeah.
Is what they're claiming that the lack of talent isn't good enough to do anything. then why do you want this team to make the playoffs so bad?
Well, you don't want to watch your team lose. I feel we haven't given up like Sixers fans.
Personally, for me, I want them to make the playoffs all the time. I think it's more interesting, and I think the young players get some.
Well, I'm just saying
some playoff experience. I know what you're saying from their arguments.
You got that Sixers mentality.
I'm just speaking for me, for my mentality. I want them to win all the time. I want the team to do well, and I don't care. I just want to get in. Because anything could happen.
You got that Sixers mentality right now.
I mean, I know I keep going back to it, but it's the most recent thing
people
remember.
Losing.
The team organization has the Sixers mentality right now.
You're okay with losing.
They should. That's why Hextall's in the future plans, and you sit young guys and let them develop and mature. You don't rush them to the fire and make them. Sometimes, even if it's not a punishment thing, it's like, hey, get your head clear. You're gripping the stick too tightly. You're doing too much. Take a step back. And like rework your game, go back. You know, break you down. Start back from step one. Go back to the fundamentals and the basics. I know it's cliche to say the basics, but really, that's what it is.
Well, remember last year when they made the playoffs and it was considered overachieving?
No,
I do.
No, yes, I remember. Come on,
Jeff was really drunk at the last game.
Yeah, shit faced, so drunk.
And dipping.
For some reason,
it was.
For some reason, they made the playoffs, and now all of a sudden, everybody thinks they're just some perennial playoff
team. Well, Hextall polished a turd, so you would think they'd be able to do it again this year.
Well, just remember, the Penguins did not play. Penguins didn't play most of their starters that game, and we had to win that game to get in.
Yeah.
And the Islanders game was pretty much, we already figured it out by then.
The thing,
there was no guarantee the Flyers would have made it. Like, we got a little lucky here and there that the stars aligned, and we happened to play well in the stretch, and like Mason was exhausted.
One of the things I was reading was that Hextall scratches players to teach lessons, but then they asked like Nick Cousins what he learned from being scratched, and he's like, "I don't know. I thought I was playing good hockey, and nobody. I don't know what I was supposed to learn."
Well, Nick Cousins' problem is he's not very good defensively,
but he beat those salt charges, so.
Well, that's
he's a
more
real
that's more of his defense attorney,
has,
not so much his defensive play.
Attorney.
He's a real winner.
He's got a good defense in court, not on the ice.
Full court press, as they say. Back to Sixers.
So he said that all players get scratched for a reason. When one of the people asked what the reasons were, Hextall refused to get into it, and then just basically said that Ghost is going to be a great defenseman when he gets older.
So wait, is this like after he stormed out, or does this still happen throughout?
I think it was like during the whole run of interviews that he did.
Okay.
People were just compiling all the questions that were.
Oh, because it was a separate interview. So
it's like three different interviews.
I got you now.
So yeah, he said he was not going to tell anybody why Ghost got scratched, but that he still likes him and wants to go to the dance with him.
Okay, good. What dance would that be?
The Enchantment Under the Sea dance where they kiss for the first time.
Sadie Hawkins?
And then they save their kid.
That's where the coaches ask the players.
Chris Pronger. I'm not going to get into a he said, she said. He's the she, by the way.
Hextall also talked about how weekly moves get overanalyzed, so one or two scratches because guys like Blinky have to meet a quota.
Absolutely. I agree with this thing on the media. Big media.
Blinky's articles
in
have been
Philly,
terrible.
New York, Boston, LA, they're all awful.
I tweeted last week, like during the post game, there was one, like every time Panaccio was interviewing someone, he would ask the dumbest question, and you would just, Jake Voracek was just like, he like looked the other way, like rolled his eyes for a second, like, are you fucking kidding me now?
He also looks like he's being sarcastic because of like the way he looks up and blinks. He's like, hey Jake, you think he could score a goal?
I mean, I know we're like part of that too, because we'll shit on like Vandevelde here and there and make jokes about McDonald's, but our job, we're here to be entertaining and like talk about the team we love.
Our
it's not
non-profit job.
Our job is not, our job, J-O-B, as they say in America.
Gerb.
Our gerbs is not to like report on the team and give insight.
No,
that's
the boring shit.
We give fan
people,
insight, and then like we try to be logical as possible with dick jokes.
Shit jokes.
So we
stuff.
Do.
People
so,
also need to read the voice of, they need to read the Book of Meltzer more.
Absolutely. Every time you think the Flyers are in a shit show, you read Bill Meltzer to put it in a perspective for you.
Bill Meltzer is very good.
He lived through, he was a kid during the best years of Flyers hockey.
Bill Meltzer
70s.
Is the voice of reason.
Bill Meltzer's good. Dave Isaac's good too. We follow Dave Isaac.
Yeah. They'll break it down for you and they'll show you. And like,
so, there are three possibilities I came up with, all right? One.
Wait first, before you go into this. Are any of them completely ridiculous, like don't even have anything to do
like
with
it? Like a Jeff
stat? No.
Oh, damn.
So one, some combination of the three.
Fake news.
Some combination of the three, Hextall, Holmgren, like McDonald and don't want to hurt his feelings.
Well.
Two, Hextall is inept at judging hockey talent.
Probably not.
I mean, he was handed the best players at UND because it was a prestigious school. So, like, does he know how to develop talent, or do we just think he does because all the UND teams were so
All good? His Final Four appearances, I think, would...
But when you're getting the top-notch talent in college, that's like saying, like, Alabama's super good, but that's because they have one of the best recruiting programs in college football.
Who the right people
if that's,
to play
if that's
are.
The case, and the
right,
San Jose Sharks would have won many cups, and the Capitals would have. And
but is he picking
you're
who
saying
the right
he
people to play
couldn't do that
are?
In college?
I don't know. He's getting all the top-notch players. Why would you have to pick?
What do you
got
mean?
A guy like
Why
TJ Oshie. You're not going
to
play TJ Oshie? You're not going to play Jonathan Toews?
Jesus.
He still had to put them on the ice.
Number three. And this is the one I'm going with. This is my favorite. This is the most elaborate ploy yet to get Las Vegas to think that Andy McDonald is good in a top four defense.
This is InfoWars special correspondent Jeff DeAngelis. The thermite paint in Andy McDonald's contract will melt these beams and make him go to L.A. What?
I think they're going to play the shit out of him to trick Las Vegas.
You know, the odds are low. They'll still put all that money on the table, baby. They're gambling
exactly.
men.
Always bet on Mac.
Maybe they just take him because they have to hit the cap floor.
I don't know, man.
Well, realistically, think of all the defensemen in the league that aren't going to be protected.
Can I add a fourth thing to your thing here, though?
What is it?
The one that you're probably looking because of your inept bias.
See, it's a funny cat picture.
Yeah.
There you go.
The cat says, what the fuck did I just read?
That's what I'm thinking because it's such one slanted piece of news. Like a Salon.com article about women's rights. This right here, just your fourth option is Andy McDonald isn't as bad as we say he is, and they do have a point, and they truly believe he's their best chance.
Well, Drew, if you love him so much, why don't you marry him?
Because I'm trying to not marry one for a while, Jeff. I love to take care of if he wants to know. Also, although I agree with gay marriage, I'm not really into other men.
That's very progressive of you, and I'm proud.
I'm very progressive. I used to be progresso. I eat a lot of soup, but not progressive.
He likes to listen to Dream Theater, too.
Prog rock.
I listen to more of Rush when I'm in a hurry.
Yes?
God damn it.
Yes, I do. And just like that, all the tension's out of the room. But seriously, Jeff, you're fucking it. I'm just kidding. You're a fucking moron.
I just don't like Andy McDonald, and I feel like...
I know you don't.
Listen, I've been on the Robert Hag bandwagon for a while.
You have been. You've been...
And I would like...
You've been inserting his name since last year.
I would like to see, like, maybe bench... McDonald for since a week is not a big deal to Hackstall. Maybe you just bench McDonald for a week and see how Hag does.
But McDonald won't get better from being benched.
He won't get better from playing. Listen, I don't understand Corsi, but his stats are low.
I don't know what it means, but it says he's bad.
I don't know what
I
it means.
I have to believe that.
Ringy and dingy.
It doesn't mean it. I don't know what this means right here. This paper says GMOs are bad for you. Read it.
Exactly. It's like for me, bound it down. I can't stop yelling because that means I lost.
McDonald's a minus five with 12 points this year. Okay.
All right.
I think.
Shane Gostisbehere.
He's
minus
19. Like, yeah, he's.
I mean, I know he's on the ice for more of the over, yeah. Or like when they're of empty net or whatever, but still. And
what's their average minutes
points.
Though?
Ghost has 9 more minutes than McDonald, or 9 more points than McDonald.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Ghost is much more offensively gifted,
but 9 more points isn't that much.
I don't know. I don't want to say Sanheim or Morin yet, but I feel like Hag. You need to figure out what the hell to do with them or trade them.
The time on ice, McDonald's gone between 17, mostly median around like 20. His like average probably 20 something minutes a game, 21 maybe. Ghost, the last 5 games, well, the last 5 games he played, pull this up in a second if my computer wants to
do
this
for me. Yeah, hockey's the worst because they never tell you if, like, people are actually hurt.
What's going on with people like it?
Well, yeah, you don't want to target the body, but, like, I would like Ghost to come out and say,
they
like,
would tell you more.
The same with Giroux, like, I'm not skating well because my hip's still bothering me.
They don't want to give that up to people.
Yeah, but I wonder if that's what it is.
If if fantasy hockey took up like fantasy football, maybe you would see that because fantasy football, you know the injury that way. You
can, like Roto World.
Yeah, all that stuff. Like, oh, his groin's, you know exactly which groin, you know exactly which finger is hurting the guy, the throwing finger. It's actually his index finger. That's where he grips the ball while it's going to hurt him. Like, you know exactly in football. Hockey, and not so much. Shane, the last 5 games, has averaged between anywhere from 15 minutes on 2 games, 19 to 20, most being 22.
I think.
But these are going back to January now because he hasn't played a lot recently.
I think they should play him, but they should do what they were doing mostly for him last year. Obviously, he can't play top minutes like they, for some reason, wanted him to. So just do what you did last year, put him on one of the bottom pairings, and then just have him come out for the power play.
Yeah, put him in situations.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all part of his development, though. Like, we have to be patient with him
what,
and the team.
What interests me is, it's nothing Hextall said. It's what Hextall said, where it was akin to a timeout for a child. So I wonder if, like, Hextall's been, or if Gostisbehere's been, like, he's like a negative Nancy in the locker room.
Or maybe he just needs, like, to... a minute to like just sit out and chill out for a minute. It could just be like that.
Because I get why they did TK. Like, sure, Travis skates around a lot, and like, but he did jump right from junior to like the NHL. So there is that learning curve he lost. But like, I wonder if Ghost was like, I was playing last year. Why aren't I playing this year? And they're like, no, shut up.
Well, because he was on fire last year. You couldn't sit him. There was no argument to make to sit him this year. This year, you can totally make the argument. And they don't always use this as a punishment. It could just be.
I mean, I don't time off. Listen. Gostisbehere gets scratched. Whatever. I just don't like McDonald. I don't think McDonald should play. That's all. That's where I'm coming from with all this.
I noticed.
He kind of has to.
I got your thesis like 6 months ago.
Six pack.
I would rather.
Or
play...
if they're gonna play him, then give him that like chemo teaming in on the Blackhawks Stanley Cup run.
I would rather
like 4 minutes.
Play.
We've all praised McDonald at times though, even you have.
Yeah, well, now they came out with three versions of the Big Mac, so that's awesome.
Irrelevant.
The Grand Mac. It's bigger than the Big Mac.
Talk about the goddamn issue. Stop skirting it. Answer the question.
No, I mean, listen, does Andrew McDonald make a good play? Yes, every so often. Does he make more bad plays consistently? Yes, he does. The law of averages.
I think his bad plays might be a blown coverage, but I think Ghost makes more mistakes than he does.
This year,
I think this year you could definitely make that argument.
Last year down the stretch,
I will
McDonald
say
played
though,
a pretty amazing series versus the Capitals.
But Gostisbehere does have skating ability over top of McDonald. For
yeah,
sure.
But do we really need that?
Unless
right now,
his hip is
because let's be honest, this team at 5-on-5
Dude,
is a disaster.
He doesn't have any
disaster
burst
at
right
worst
now, I'm
and
you.
Average at best. This team 5-on-5, they're not that they can't score.
Right,
and
they can't
been,
score, and
they
their defensive
and
coverage
dying.
Is terrible.
At the beginning of the year, they were playing pretty well at 5-on-5, and they had the stretches.
And all of their defensemen were scoring.
Yeah, we still have a lot of. Yeah, we still our defense.
Yeah.
Still
meanwhile, Delzato is just hanging out too.
Well, is he?
I don't think he's part of the future.
Is he
plans.
Back yet?
I don't think he's hurt. Is he?
I thought he went down with a lower body injury.
He's still hurt. Yeah.
Oh, is he still hurt?
Yeah, he's still hurt.
Well, poop.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know why you just don't go back to what you had last year.
Because
which was
the new year.
Bring, like, even when Delzato was playing, he wasn't paired with Gudas.
That Delzato and Gudas pairing last year was pretty good, though, until he got hurt. He played great. He was playing into a great contract if he kept that up throughout last year, most of this year. Then he got hurt, and then
yeah,
he's been the same
I
player.
Don't think...
He looked like he finally matured as like that defenseman we hoped he was. Like a,
when you listen
a
back to the
defenseman.
Old episodes, it's like we get really excited about Delzato and like how his star
though.
Is ascending. Yeah, and we were like, oh, my God, if he keeps this up, he's going to get a huge contract. And then like this year, he can't even skate.
Yeah, I remember. We all said the same thing. It was obvious. He was playing great, and he has offensive capabilities. It's just he doesn't.
Who would have thought out
right
all
now,
that?
Yeah, I don't know
Gudas
what his deal is
extended.
This year, but.
I don't know either. It just.
He's either pressing too hard or he's worried about the contract and trying to play
well,
super
also,
good.
Well, also, I think like all defensemen,
not there.
Our team defensively has been anything but steady throughout the whole year. It has not been consistent at all.
Right. But I think that just comes down from the lack of good defensemen and defensemen playing good. That makes sense.
What about the forwards though?
Well, the forwards are a whole different story.
But they're part of the defense though. Like when teams are cycling
it's
around
ridiculous
the puck for a minute, and we're getting blown on coverages because they're getting gassed because they're
when
they don't
the
have
Flyers
their assignments.
Actually back check in a game.
That's what the gap control. I've a million times during the 10-game streak. It's there.
Like even within these last couple games, like sure they lost. But they've been back checking, and like you said, the gap control has been ridiculous.
They've kept games tight.
Yeah, but they
first Canadians did that, and they played a great game. They won 3-1.
The problem they're having now offensively is that nobody wants to take the fucking puck to the net. They just keep cycling it to the perimeter, and guess what? It's not going to work.
It's a lot of carrying.
Especially if you saw how the Blues game went, like they blocked probably. How many shots do you think they blocked?
There were a lot of plays where they would pass it around, like even on the power play, they'd pass it around the top, and then Drew would give it back to the point, and then instead of like trying to make another pass to open a lane, they just shoot it into a shin pad.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
The power play goes stale at times. It works when it works, but
the power play's been stale.
It lacks creativity. It just works because they have the reason why the power play works, in my opinion, is the first unit has really good players on it.
The power
play is going to hit it every
downward trending.
I feel like ever since the power play, I mean, the power play is still top 10 in the league.
Is it? I thought it went from I thought it was at 18.
It's 9. Are you sure you're not looking at the penalty kill?
Maybe it was the penalty kill. The penalty kill is, farts.
But the power play went from being number 1 in the league to number 9, but
yeah,
I think
it was
that
a scary
it's
power
still
play.
It's inflate like it's still top 10 because it's inflated from those numbers.
From the beginning of the year when they were on a streak when they were scoring. That's how they won the game on their power play.
I think like recently it's been
Flyers are now
look
11.
At Braden Schenn's points for the year, man. Most of it, almost all of his points are on the power play.
The Flyers are now 11th in power play. And 18th in the PR. So it was the penalty kill. Which, you have the same penalty killers from last year to this year.
Well, Drew's not penalty killing as much, and Simmons is out there. I think Simmons has been a good addition.
Right, but
to the
your big
kill,
your big penalty killers are 76 and 78, right?
Yeah.
How are they still?
I like 78 better than I like 76.
Well, yeah.
Vandevelde does make some good plays on the penalty kill, though.
That's all.
He's defensive forward.
I feel like
we've always said that.
I feel like the glaring. I don't know. I feel like I see Belmar. Like, the ones that stick out in my head more are the ones that Belmar makes.
Yeah, like the plays. You don't see Vandevelde diving to get pucks out
exactly.
of the zone as a last ditch effort.
Because he couldn't get back up, probably.
You see Vandevelde, like, turn around and be like, whoop, everyone went past me. This isn't good. This is bad.
But there he goes.
And there he goes.
And they're gone.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, I guess we can start giving our Lauren Hart waves of the week now after that whole debacle. Jeff, since you have so much to say today, your Lauren Hart waves of the week.
Michael Neuberth for the Kings game. I overshot the wave.
You did.
Michael Neuberth for the Kings game.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good.
He made the same arm save, what, like three times? Two, three times?
He had a great game.
Yeah.
Kept him awesome. In
it. It's really a shame that he had to lose in overtime to... Captain Herps.
Jeff Cartier?
Yeah.
That's how you say it.
Allegedly.
Doyle, you're a Lauren Hart Waves of the Week.
Ivan Provorov. Especially for laying the fucking hammer last night on the...
Oh, yes. Yeah, on the guy trying to score in the empty net.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did. That was, he brought the wood.
That was awesome.
The whole family's eating today, boys. Crushed. And my Lauren Hart waves of the week go to number 47, Andy McDonald, for standing in the face of tyranny and all the media bias around him. Yes, I've shit on him. Yes, I've said awful things about him. However, I'm just a dumb, comic, stupid Flyers podcast guy. You know what you're getting. He's not as bad as advertised. Just like me, ladies. Seriously, date me. I'm great. I have great back rubs. I can make omelets, and I always marinate
you can make
my
omelets?
Chicken. Of course, I make omelets. Jeff, come on now. Fat people know how to cook. Well, they order out a lot.
I don't see you as fat. I see you as my friend.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad I can transcend labels now with you. But Andy McDonald's still a stuttering idiot.
Well, he
you.
Still stinks. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff. Is that what you think?
It doesn't matter what you think.
I could have played that at 10 different times tonight. But anyway, I think to bring this all back together and to show that we are still a bipartisan podcast here, even if my opponent here, Jeff, is a flunky. I'm just kidding. I think it's much easier to be mean to Jeff.
Listen, it's about time that we started disagreeing on something.
Yeah,
we get along all too often.
Do we though?
It's disgusting.
I think we agreed on a lot of stuff.
We usually
for
do,
for the most part.
But Jeff's Twitter meltdown has shown me that he's incapable for the service in the office of as a.
Yeah, can we talk about
person.
Your Claude Julien comments for a
yeah,
second?
Yeah, I like Claude Julien. I think he's a great coach.
Let me put this into perspective, quoting the Book of Meltzer. So, in the time span that Claude Julien was with the Bruins for his first however many games they played at this point. So
10 seasons, 820
no,
games.
In his first season and a half, however we want to call it, Claude Julien's record Let's see, 68, 54, and 15.
But that's not a
Dave
fair assessment.
Dave Hackstall, 67, 48, and 21. And Claude Julien probably had a better team.
He didn't,
he had Tim
though.
Thomas. He had Tim Thomas.
And no, in the time Hackstall was a coach, Julien didn't have a better team because the Bruins...
I'm talking about in the first two seasons.
Are you saying the first two seasons of them being coaches or
whatever Hackstall, however the Bruins, many games he had, and then Claude Julien's first whatever year that he coached the Bruins.
What is it? 2017, so he's been there 10 years, so it's 2007. Did the Bruins have Char yet?
In 2007 Bruins? I'm looking it up right now to give you a... Bruins came in with
maybe
Julien...
Mark
they
Savard?
Finished there.
Seidenberg was probably there.
They had Milan Lucic as a youngster, Krejci, Sobotka, and Nikolainen.
Frank Sobotka,
of course.
Vladimir
who was the goalie?
Sobotka. During that
2007
year.
2007 was before Thomas, right? Isn't it?
I don't know. I'll look up Tim Thomas now.
Well, Tim Thomas retired in what, 2012?
Maybe.
Tim Thomas was a great American.
He was.
I think he was there.
He just looked like a guy who liked to pound Bush Light.
He's been with the Bruins since 2005.
Tim Thomas.
2000. Did he start coaching 2006, 2007, or 2007,
2008? 07, 08, he started coaching.
All right, let's see what they say for rosters. Andrew Alberts. Flyers know about him, man.
He did all right, though. Metropolit.
Bergeron was there.
Char was there. Bergeron was there. Mark Savard was still there.
Oh, fat face. Phil Kessel.
Yeah, but look, Mark Savard's still there. And Sturm was pretty good for them. Sean Thorne
Marco
was a great
Sturm.
Player. And Dennis Weidman.
So Tim Thomas was the starter and Rask was still the backup.
Yes, when Rask was a youngster.
Wow, Rask is so good now.
Yeah, Rask was good in 2010.
God, Rask has been around for a while.
He was so young, though. When we played him in 2010, he was like only like 20 or 21, I think. Wow.
David Krejci was 11th on the team in points.
Yeah, like they had a pretty good team.
Yeah, but not great. What was their record that year? Overall, 41, 29, and 12.
94 points are nothing to scoff at.
They're literally the league average.
Well, like the Flyers were last year.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That's what I'm trying to say, Jeff.
I just think that Claude Julien has a winning pedigree because of those Stanley Cups that none of the Flyers coaches have.
Well, Hextall as a GM has a Stanley Cup technically.
Right, as an assistant GM, but it wasn't a coach.
Okay, true.
I feel like Dean Lombardi did most of the building.
Well,
Hextall just signed off on stuff.
You don't fire Hextall. It's a year and a half into
I'm not
a
firing
rebuild.
Hextall.
But why do you want to get Claude Julien? Like,
I just don't like some of Hextall's decisions.
But you want to fire Hextall and get Julien then?
I would say maybe.
Hire Claude Julien as associate coach.
So what happens here?
He's not going to take that deal.
Let's say the Flyers continue trending down for the rest of the season.
Jeff. You go back to the chalkboard and say, okay, this is the team we have. We know they can win like they did last year. We got to add a couple pieces to it and continue developing our young players.
Right, but do you think Hextall takes more of a firm hand with Hextall? Says, this is what you're going to do, Junior.
No.
No, I think he needs to give him better players.
Well, yeah, ideally, but where the hell are they going to find him?
This is mostly the same team Berube coached.
Right.
Plus
for the most part, yeah.
Plus a couple players.
So Andy McDonald stunk then, too.
This
what
team
is your point?
There's no winning with you. Are you and your girlfriend breaking up? Is that why you've been so emotional lately? Like, you're just very...
Jeff, right now, it's like arguing with an idiot. They just take it down to their level and beat you with years of experience.
Because he's actually an idiot.
I just hate Andy McDonald.
All right, Jeff, before I even get into more of your points, do you happen to know what time it is right now?
What time is it, Drew? I don't know.
Do you even know?
I don't. Enlighten me.
Are you sure you guys don't know? I really feel you guys know what time
it is. I can look at my phone if you want.
I really would appreciate that. Look at your phone. Hold that dial.
It's time for...
Shibba-doo-bop-bop. Tweet of the week. Yeah.
It's Tweet of the Week, everybody. Everyone's favorite part of the show where we share a favorite tweet of ours from Flyers/NHL Twitter
universe. This is a pretty good one. I like this one.
And so, Jeff, you have the Tweet of the Week this week because you did all of the show production, which is why it was so negative. So, Jeff, go.
Maybe that's why Drew is so glum in the beginning.
Maybe. So,
I've been overworked. I've had a day off in over a week, all right?
Tweet of the Week goes to Roberto Luongo for his tweet after Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, best quarterback of all time, Dr. Mike, suck it.
They were the butthurt text from Dr. Mike during the game. He's like, Braves gonna win again. I was like, drink it in, here it comes, pussies. Remember we were watching you at Doyle. I was like, here it comes, dude. I was like, once they got that one, they were within a couple points in the Edelman catch.
Yeah.
And I was like, I texted him, I was like, here it comes. You ready for it? He was like, oh, I hate the Patriots.
David Tyree all over again.
So, Roberto Longo tweeted, me and Tom Brady have a combined 5 championships. Hashtag blessed.
All right. I like it. Because how many has he won?
The next guy who replied said, you and Tom Brady also have combined 0 Stanley Cups.
Follow-up tweet. All right. That was our... Tweet of the week. Yeah. Thank you.
An explosion at the end of that never gets old.
No.
I think we can pull...
Can you pull up a bomb of the week, which is what I'm looking at right
now? So, what we have right here, someone must have been drinking watching the game. I was getting notifications on the phone, like, Broad Street Boy Twitter's popping. I'm like, so I was tweeting my own account. I was like, oh, no. And then I saw Doyle respond to this. And from the Broad Street Boy podcast Twitter, Jeff says, Morgan Freeman's number one pickup line. This must have been during his commercial. His number one pickup line, quote, I just want to get my organ free, man. Hashtag every hashtag in there, trying to get views.
He wants
just trying to be somebody and get views for the podcast.
He wants to pull his pecker out and show it to his granddaughter.
I'd say your valiant was effort, but
Your effort was valiant.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're just so wrapped up in hating me that you can't even get the words right.
Yeah. Well.
Shut up, pussy.
What the mighty Clint do my speakings for me. So shut up, you.
Shut up, you.
I guess we end with some show news. So we said earlier,
son of a bitch.
February 25th, the game of the Flyers-Penguins outdoor series game, or stadium series game, if you want to call it that.
We are
going to be live before the show, before the game, around 4 o'clock we're shooting for it. Details will be confirmed soon, but it'll be afternoon. We're going to be at Westies in North Wildwood, New Jersey.
We have the We're just trying to figure out the logistical things.
A couple small details we ironed out. We will be there. We'll be doing a show. We'll be doing some contests. Remember the big show we had last year planned for the outdoor before the last game of the season that was canceled by snow? Well, guess what? We're in Wildwood. It's going to be wintertime. It's going to be a good time. It's a good shitty bar we can get drunk at.
Westies for the pregame. We'll talk to some of the locals because apparently there's a huge Flyers contingent down there.
Because they're all rich people.
Because they're chomping at the bit because nothing else is going on in Wildwood right now. And we'll do some giveaways.
Yeah,
talk some shit.
We should have our shirts, but then too, this t-shirt lady has the thing. She's got, we're running up some quotes and we're just picking out which design we want. And then we will
wrap up the live show by the time the game starts and then hang out.
So t-shirts were like a thing last year. We're almost a year since talking about it and they're actually going to happen. So,
yeah.
And there's going to be good t-shirts
like
too.
Real t-shirts, like not like the shitty iron on transfers.
But we do appreciate you guys wearing those. But yeah.
If the iron on transfers haven't completely
besides giveaways,
cracked,
these won't be that free. But they'll be very cheap, though. We're just looking to help support the podcast and like maybe pay for our
hosting
costs.
We're just looking to cover costs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're not going to gouge.
That way. Because, you know, where else could you get this entertainment?
Not until we make it.
Yeah, where else could you get entertainment?
Then we'll autograph them for you and sell them.
Then we'll pull a chive and sell them for like $70.
Then we can, where else can you hear every week Jeff getting lambasted for his idiotic view? I'm just kidding. Why am I kidding? No, you suck. You really do. I'm trying to be civil here. This is my house, damn it.
We're trying to have a difference of opinions.
Yeah?
I can smell your cunt.
Oh, sorry. That was the wrong one. What I meant to hit was... I'm just kidding. That's what I meant to hit. I just haven't used that one in a while. I want to shoehorn it in there. Because we had to laugh after that whole... I want to go back to the Mellow Drew now. So thank you guys for listening to the Broad Street Bully podcast. It's been lovely having you here.
Hold the phone, sir.
I'm sorry, what? What did I miss?
Are you forgetting something?
Oh, don't worry.
Okay.
I did not forget about it.
Okay.
So
let's make sure you're not signing off here.
I'm not signing off yet, Doyle. So this one right here, we have a song of the week coming at you for the episode 77. It's going back to the early 2000s, back when Zanga was cool, you know, girls were hot, and cutting her wrists was still all right. This is going to be a shoehorn, but get ready for it.
I don't think that was ever all right.
It's a cross. Or as long as you're doing it across, it's fine. Down's dangerous.
Yeah.
77th episode of Broad Street Bully. Told you, shoehorned. Shoehorned in there, but I had to do it. That's what I had to do. Jeff, do you have one?
I do.
You're really trying to be like Jeff with these now, huh? Aren't you?
I'm just trying to know what it feels like to be a retard.
damn it. Roger Blair Podcast.
Thank God yours wasn't good this week. It was okay. But if yours was good this week, that was a pretty bad one on my part. Oh, man.
I do enjoy that song, though.
Yeah, who doesn't like The Cure?
That's why he picked it. He's pandering to you now. Stop pandering to Doyle.
Dude,
I didn't pander to either of you this entire episode.
Yeah, because your opinions are dumb.
They're dumb. Your opinions are dumb,
you're
sir.
You're wrong, and I'm more righter than you. I'm more right than you ever were or ever once was.
I wonder if this is what yelling about sports is like.
This coming from the guy who called WIP and told him we should trade Giroux.
I was about to tell you that your tweets this week. I was like, wow, Jerry's. I was like, Jess really turned to Jerry from Port Richmond.
Minus the slurs.
Well, I keep it clean.
Well, we all know that. Anyway, there's a butthole joke. I don't know. I'm just not going to say it. Okay, guys. Thank you for listening. We went a little long this week.
Erase.
So Westies 25th. Details coming soon. They'll be on our Facebook page, Twitter, on our Facebook.
A live show. Westies is probably my favorite bar.
We'd hope you guys come out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to party. We're going to get drunk as shit afterwards. That's what we do. And, you know, we're going to have a race to the place we're staying to see if it's DUI first. Should be fun.
If you see us there, We'll buy you drinks, and then we'll just charge
them
to some
other guy. No, they buy us drinks. They're fucking fans. It's fucking bullshit.
No, I was just going to say we would charge them some random guy's tab.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll definitely do that.
That guy at the bar.
So
two rounds.
If we have shirts by then. You do make it out. We will be giving those away.
Yes.
We will be having our online store open
sell
at one point.
Sizzle.
But we'll have them out. They're going to be nice shirts going with a nice little logo Josh Carter designed
some
for us.
Soft cotton.
And we'll have some koozies to give away and all our stuff. We have plenty from last year to give away,
too. We have a lot of koozies,
and some from this year with new stuff. So anyway, thank you for listening. And go Flyers. We'll see what happens. Be nice on Hackstall and McDonald.
Trust
the
process.
It's not his fault he can't read.
Trade and fire.
Trust the process.
Trade and fire.
Have a good one.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter @ the BSB Podcast.